still pretty cold and rainy and windy and cloudy and gray weather. It's been like this since Saturday, and hopefully tomorrow will be the last day and we'll get back to a little better weather, although tomorrow morning I'm going to Budapest. There's a wedding, Guru Tuma Prabhu and Ananya Gopi in the morning. I'll be have different meetings and so on in the afternoon. The day after, I have a Lenti meeting in the morning again with all of the artists on the new book, Navavraja Mahima. And then in the afternoon, we have a interfaith program. Actually, it's one of our annual series of meeting with members of different faiths. Last year, if you remember, it was the head of the Jewish synagogue. Year before, it was a Catholic priest. And this year, it's the head of the Buddhist organization, or one of the Buddhist organizations, because there are quite a few of them in Hungary. Just before I went over to the temple this evening, I was reading up a little on Buddhism. Boy, is it ever boring. And particularly doing a little reference on the actual Vishnu avatar Buddha, who's referred to in Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Buddha who people generally commonly refer to, the Shakya Singha Buddha, who appeared 2,500 years ago, the Vishnu avatar Buddha appearing 3,500 years ago. Anyhow, not to dwell too much into that right now, then went over to the temple. I needed devotees to prompt me a little with some questions, because I was pretty zoned out by trying to understand or derive some kind of meaning out of the meaninglessness of nirvana. Anyway, one of the devotees was asking about how sadhana siddha Vaishnavas, whether when they're engaged in Krishna's pastimes in the universe, wherever Krishna manifests his pastime, whether they enter into Krishna's uprakat lila. And of course, when Krishna's pastimes are prakat or manifest, then the unmanifest lila is that which takes place in Goloka Vrindavan. And even the sadhana siddhas, they'll have access to that only when they return back home, back to Godhead. On the other hand, access to different dimensions of Krishna's pastimes is possible through stages of perfection, or is possible at perfection. It will depend upon how Krishna desires to manifest those pastimes to the Vaishnavas. It is inconceivable to the ordinary mind that even from the material point of view, there are many coexisting realities in one geographical location. For instance, in one location, right now I'm in my room in New Brajadam, but in this gross reality that I'm perceiving simultaneously, there is a subtle reality which the, say, the ghosts and spirits experience beyond that. That which even subtler living entities like fairies, and beyond that the lower demigods, the higher demigods, the siddhas, perfected beings, all of this may take place in one geographical location that I call my room. How does that go on? Achintya. Even the material energy is inconceivable. What then to speak of the spiritual reality of Vrindavan Dham, where Krishna's manifesting one pastime, say, of leaving Vrindavan, but simultaneously he is always present in Vrindavan, as Prabhupada terms it the bhava expansion. And even when Krishna is present in Vrindavan, Krishna is seen in different ways by different devotees according to their relationship with him. So not only are there different strata of reality, but even in the same strata of reality, that strata is perceived in different ways. How are such things understood? Bhakti-amam avijanati, only through bhakti. And here when we talk about bhakti, shodarati bhakti ranukramishasi, this type of bhakti requires actually prema bhakti. Premanjana charita bhakti vidochana, you know, when one's eyes are anointed with this type of bhakti, santas sadeva rideshu lokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna swarupa. So the inconceivable things, both of this world, what to speak of the transcendental realm, are perceivable only through the eyes of pure devotional service. Then one can see reality and envisage reality. And even though from the intellectual point of view we may try to understand things, and rightly we should, achintya kaluye bhava, or actually that wasn't the verse I was going today, siddhanta bolya chitte, yes, one should try to understand things through the concept of siddhanta, but still that will be one thing, then actually the direct perception, pratyaksha, that will be available through qualified pure devotional service. And therefore, if we really want to understand Krishna, if we want to understand Krishna's devotees, then we need these eyes of devotion. There was a similar question which was raised, which was that Bali Maharaj was a great devotee, and yet the demons tolerated him as their king, whereas Prahlad Maharaj was persecuted by his father, king of demons. He couldn't tolerate his son being a devotee. So how is that the case? And how could a devotee like Bali Maharaj conduct himself as a demon and lead them to conquer the heavenly kingdoms? So once again, the behavior, Vaishnavya Kriya Mudra, the behavior, the activities of a Vaishnava are very, very difficult to fathom. The other day we were talking about Thakur Bhaktivinoda. In his autobiography, he says he was born in a non-Vaishnava, from his mother's side, they were non-Vaishnavas, they were non-vegetarians. He grew up and liked Western philosophy and Christian theology. So why didn't he immediately just reach for Bhagavatam when he was born and convert his family, as Prahlad did? It wasn't the Lord's plan. It wasn't the message that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give through the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Haridas Thakur, and born in the family of Yavanas, Milechas. So once again, who's a devotee? How advanced is a Vaishnava? Why do Vaishnavas act in certain ways? Bhakti-amama vijanati. It requires eyes of devotion to see these things. And in the absence of those eyes of devotion, we should simply accept things from authority. We should accept transcendental knowledge from realized sources. Then gradually, by the process of devotional service, as we become qualified, our minds will become illuminated and our intelligence will become illuminated and empowered by the power of devotion. That is what is meant by premanjana charita. In other words, the materialistically molded mind is not suitably equipped for understanding transcendental subject matter. But when it becomes enlightened, when it becomes empowered by the spiritual potency of the Lord, then it can understand those things that are both inconceivable and delve into those realms which are beyond the realm of simply logic and intellect. This is what empowerment means. Right now I'm just thinking of an example. When I was young, I had a microscope, and I think most young children have a microscope, and I would look in my microscope at different type of things. But in order to be able to actually see, the microscope was illuminated. There was a light underneath. And when the light wasn't there, even though I put things through, I couldn't see things properly. So same thing, unless we are illuminated with Divya Gyanre De Prakashita, unless we're illuminated with transcendental knowledge that comes from the spiritual platform and empowered by spiritual potency, then even though we may put something before our magnifying glass, our intelligence and our mind, we won't be able to see it in the way that we really should be able to see it. And therefore, we have to have faith. We have to have faith in the version of the higher authorities who do have such realized vision. And it is ultimately this realized vision which we depend on. Mahajana Jena Gata Sapanta. We depend upon the version of the Mahajans, because they will give us the perfect information according to time, place, and circumstance. And if we follow them, purify our hearts, we also become qualified for such devotional vision, which allows us to see reality, to understand the Supreme Lord, and to understand a devotee, and who's a devotee and who's not a devotee. Hare Krishna.